1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures.
じゃあ日本語で第一コリント人への手紙15章1節から4節までを読みます。兄弟たち、私は今あなた方に福音を知らせましょう。これは私があなた方に述べ伝えたもので、あなた方が受け入れ、またそれによって立っている福音です。またもしあなた方がよく考えもしないで信じたのでないなら、私の述べ伝えたこの福音の言葉をしっかりと保っていれば、この福音によって救われるのです。私があなた方に最も大切なこととして伝えたのは、私も受けたことであって次のことです。キリストは聖書の示す通りに私たちの罪のために死なれたこと、また葬られたこと、また聖書に従って3日目によみがえられたこと。
Good morning. He is risen.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, so in the Christian culture, on Easter, when they say he is risen, the reply is, he is risen indeed. So let's try that again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen, amen. Okay. Easter for Christians is like Christmas, you know, it's one of the biggest holidays, one of the biggest event for us, because in this letter, 1 Corinthians, the writer, Paul, he goes on to say that if Christ did not rise, if he was not resurrected, then we are to be pitied of all people, that our hope is in the resurrection. Today I want to talk a little bit about that, but before we do that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you who created the heavens and the earth, you who sent your one and only Son to die for us, you who rose him from the grave, Jesus, you who has been given all authority on heaven and earth, we come before you to worship you, Lord, to praise your name, to bless your holy name, and to ask you, Lord, to bless us with a greater measure of your presence, Lord, and a greater awareness of your presence. We pray, Father, that you would increase heaven's atmosphere in this place and in our hearts, that your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians, Paul, the writer of this letter, starts out by saying, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you have been saved. And most of you know, if you've been to church long enough, the word gospel in Greek simply means good news. Good news. Central to Christianity, to our faith, is that the news we have is good news. By now you know I like basketball. In my senior year, I was privileged to play on the varsity team. This is in the greater Los Angeles area, and our team was okay. But we were all seniors, pretty much, except for a couple sophomores and a couple juniors. The season before, I played on the varsity team half the year, and we did not make the playoffs. In fact, we hardly won any games. The next season, we were one of those teams that won games that we shouldn't have won, and sometimes lost games that we should have won. You know what I'm talking about? You didn't know which team would come out. And so, actually, in the summer league, we played the number 6 team in the nation. And on this list, there are teams from Virginia, Florida, Texas, all these, in the state, not just the state of California, but this was in the nation. We played the number 6 team in the nation, and we ended up beating them. And so we thought we were going to have a really great season. We ended up having a mediocre season, and we didn't know if we were going to make the playoffs. The day the playoffs came out, we made it. And that was good news. The gospel, though, is even greater. It's a news about eternity. It's a news that we can look forward to, and it will not fade away. And this is the news that Paul is talking about, and Paul wants to remind us of this news, and he talks about four aspects about this good news. If you go down to 1 Corinthians 15:3, he says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture." And let me stop there. The good news is that there is forgiveness of sins through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now, some of you may be saying, that's not news at all. If God is so good, of course He's going to forgive us of our sins. Yeah, I remember when, before I got saved, I was saved when I was 18, which is now about 18 years ago. But when I first became saved, hearing the news, the message, God forgives you of your sin, wasn't really news to me. I mean, think about it. You've been Christian for a long time. You kind of forget that most people, if they believe in God, they believe God forgives, right? I mean, that's kind of like, well, I forgive my neighbor. You know, if God is so great, of course He's going to forgive. The thing is, if you go just to the bare bones of what that means, though. The forgiveness of sin. Now, when we think of sin, we may think of the big sins, right? Murder, adultery, you name it. When I was 18 and I heard the message, God forgives you of your sins, I was like, well, I don't do any of those. I'm okay, I'm good. You know? But the word sin, it includes all those things. But what it means is missing the mark. And it literally is an image of an archer that missed the bullseye. That's sin. Missing the mark. And we miss the mark all the time, right? By now you should know I love basketball. In my free time, that's what I do. I go to the gym and I shoot. I shoot the ball. Sometimes there's nobody there. And it's a strange thing. I shoot, and when it goes in, I feel really good about myself. Of course. I've gotten to the point where I can make the basket probably better than most of you here. Maybe. No bets, but I think I could outshoot. As I look into the crowd, there may be a couple, one or two of you that may be able to shoot better than me, but I'm pretty sure I could outshoot you. But we all have something like that, don't we? Where we just love to do, we go to it, and we're good at it. Whether it's golf. Some of you love golf, playing golf. And when you hit that sweet spot, I really don't know golf, so but I'm trying to imagine. But when you hit that sweet spot, it gives you a feeling like nothing else. Or if you like cooking, when you make that medium rare ribeye steak with all the right seasoning, it's just, you know, it's not overcooked, it's not undercooked, it's really crispy, and it's just, right? I don't know what you guys like, but, as good as you get, you'll eventually miss the mark at one time. As good as I am shooting basketball, I'll miss. And I know I'll miss. As good as you become at golf and hitting that sweet spot, you'll eventually not hit it. In fact, probably, if I played, it's probably rare that I do hit it. Sin is that. Missing the mark. Not just morally, it includes morally, but missing the mark in life, even the little things. And some of us, we miss more than we hit. And every time we miss, there's a feeling of doubt, fear, anger, frustration. But when we hit it, it's like, oh, that felt so good. And Jesus, it says in the Bible, the good news is this, that Christ died for our sins. He didn't just say, I forgive you. Don't worry about it. I mean, he did say that, but it's far greater in depth that I will remove the misses in your life. I will remove every misses in your life so that when I'm through with you, every time you shoot that three-pointer, it goes in. Even if Wayne, Josh, and Greg is triple-teaming you, you'll shoot it and it'll go in. Every time you swing that golf club, as ridiculous as this may sound, it'll be a hole-in-one. Every time you cook that ribeye steak, I'm salivating now. Not only did he die for our sin, and is he removing all the misses in our lives, as far as the east is from the west, it says, he will remove our sins. He will forgive our transgressions. But it says in 15:14 that he was buried. And that's the dying part. But that he was raised on the third day according to Scripture. Amen. He has risen. Come on, man. Come on. You guys sleeping on me? All right. Come on. I'll try that again. He has risen. Amen. All right. That's what Christians say on Easter. But he has risen indeed. And so the news is, he forgives you of your sins, but he has also risen indeed. By now, you guys should know I love basketball. Every week, you'll hear about that, probably. And sometimes, I'm gonna give you a little bit of just inside of Aki, what happens in my heart, in my mind. Sometimes, I wish I could go back to being 18 again. Oh, yeah, it touched somebody right there. I'm connecting with somebody. Sometimes I wish I was 24, the prime of my life, physically. Man, I was fast. I was pretty fast. And, you know, these days, obviously I'm not that fast. My knees ache. If I sit too long and I stand up, I make this weird noise like, ugh. And I'm a little bent over for a couple of steps, and then I finally, you know, walk normally. And I'm only 36. Some of you are looking at me and saying, man, you're old. And others of you are looking at me and saying, man, you're young. Yeah, I'm worn down though. I'm beat up, I'm worn down. Both my knees have gone through stuff and they don't like me too much. The only time they actually feel good is when I'm running and playing basketball. I don't know why, but it takes a while for me to warm up. But sometimes I wish I was 18 again. I won't ask why. But
it's more fun now.
Well, it's more fun, but just physically. Physically, though, it talks about a resurrection. Now, as Christians, we don't think about that too often. That Jesus, when he died, he was buried, and when they went to look for his body, it was not there. Because not only was his spirit alive, not only was his mind alive, not only was his soul alive, but now he has a body that is perfect. That is not marred by sin. That has not gone through the wear and tear of decay or death or his suffering. A glorified body, thank you. And instead, and God kind of reminded me, he said, you know, you're looking back and hoping you're 18 again. You actually should look forward to when you're in glory. Amen. When you have your resurrected body. Because you will enjoy life much far greater than you will when you are 18. Some of you, all of us, will one day enjoy a glorified body. Amen. Hopefully. We will all have a resurrected body, I believe. Some of us will enjoy it. Some of us won't enjoy it. But Jesus promises a resurrected body. The dead shall rise again. And so whatever your body has been through, and as I look at you, no, just kidding. Whatever your body has been through, let me tell you, you will have another one. And it will probably look very similar to what it looks like now, but a glorified one. Where sin and death cannot touch it. The scripture goes on to say, it's interesting, it says it several times if you noticed it. It says, this is the gospel, this is the good news I preached to you. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as first important, that Christ died for our sins, he is making us perfect, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day, a promise of a resurrected body. And at both times it says, according to scripture. You guys notice that? It repeats it. According to scripture. Now, there's a man named Josh McDowell. He is far smarter than I am. But he wrote a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And in that book, he claims that Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies in scriptures. Over 300. For some of you, that's very important. Especially if you know you're a professor, right? Men, Phil. Professors, they love sources for some reason. It's like you can't just give them your own opinion. You have to like quote something. You have to cite something. And Paul was a scholar, the person that wrote this book. And he makes it a note to say that, you know, I didn't make this story up. And Jesus, he is a historical figure. And this historical figure actually fulfilled 300 prophecies that were written about him thousands of years before he even was born. And the evidence that this man lived, he died. You can't find his body. It was written about him. I hope it gives some of you assurance that this book that we hold in our hands, that you could download on your phone, is trustworthy. It is true. It is sure. And it makes a claim some may think a ridiculous claim that someone could die and be resurrected. And if that's true, and if that's written in here, and I believe it is true, there are hundreds and hundreds of other promises in this book that is meant for you.
Amen.
And some of these promises may sound too good to be true, just like a resurrected body, just like the forgiveness of sins. But 300 have already passed about Jesus, came to fulfillment. And there are hundreds and even thousands more that will come true if we just begin to read and believe. And it starts with believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say, and he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. Hundreds of people have testified that they saw the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, and countless today, since, have testified that this Jesus has changed their lives. Again, I accepted Christ when I was 18. Before that, I didn't know Jesus. And I'm not going to lie and say that it was easy. Those 18 years have been hard. They've been tough. But it's the best decision I made.
Amen.
Believing in a resurrection. I don't have to wish I was 18 again. That'll never happen. I won't wake up one day and be in Granada Hills. But one day I will wake up and be in glory.
Amen.
That's the good news. That's the promise that Jesus gave when he rose again. That's the promise and guarantee God gave when he rose Jesus again. It calls it the first fruit. The first one to rise again, but not the last. He is doing the same for hundreds and billions of people since. And if you have not put your trust in Jesus Christ, and if you are not looking forward to a resurrected body, I invite you to put your hope in Jesus and look forward to a glorified, resurrected body that is without sin. So every time you swing the golf club, you have a hole-in-one. Let's pray. You know, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, I invite you to just say, Jesus, I invite you into my heart. Just say it under your breath. Jesus, I invite you into my life. I want to know the hope of a resurrected body. I want to have a hope of glory. I want a life that never misses the mark. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the hope you have given us, for the promise of eternal life, a life without sin, a life full of joy and gladness, no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrows, no more disease, no more regrets, no more missing the mark, but a life of glory. We thank you, Jesus, that you would show us the way, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we praise you, we bless you, we glorify you. We thank you so much. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.